I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Batter up off the fair pole. Hey now, 3-run homer, Aaron Judge.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What are the Browns doing? Is it Shador now?
The expectation would be that he is going to be the one who backs up Dylan Gabriel.
Today's guests: Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, TNF analysts Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth, Falcons running back Bijan Robinson, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Jon Bon Jovi, and now Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Everybody, right here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show, whether you're listening to us, watching a SiriusXM Channel 80. By the way, is how you can find us if you're wanting to listen to us via satellite. There's our podcast every single day, all 3 hours. We greatly appreciate you taking that in and, of course, subscribing there or our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson. Candle appears to be lit already over there. Good
brand
to see
new
you,
candle. Smelling great.
Fantastic. Whoa, wow. Fantastic.
Flavor. I mean, it's kind of like a vanilla type. I got to ask Sarah.
Okay.
There's hints of vanilla, maybe a little bit wood.
You're talking about Sarah Jackson, our makeup artist, yes, extraordinary, yes. Not Sarah Tiana, Christopher Brockman.
Sarah makeup artist, aka
okay, good to know.
My candle, not buying TJ.
My candle pusher.
Hey, everybody out there, may all of you who wanted Hassan Haskins gotten him overnight. So that's our way of saying hello to all of our fantasy.
I had picked him up a couple of weeks earlier because I was like, oh, he's now the backup. Dropped him for Mason Taylor.
How's that working?
Well, Mason Taylor's good, but he's doing all right. I definitely need a running back.
Well, at any rate, hey, everybody, if you got a running back, give it to Chris.
Thank you.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Fitz and Wit are on a bus right now somewhere in America. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth are going to join us top of hour number two.
It's like Laurel and Hardy.
From a bus. They've been taking a bus across the country in support of Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. The first game of week six is tomorrow night. They're making their way to Eagles at Giants in New Jersey after leaving here last Thursday night after the 49ers took care of the Rams just up
Man,
the road.
Look at that thing.
And they're very far apart, Los Angeles and New Jersey. I can be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the question is, and I don't know if I'll ask them this, I'll ask everybody here, I guess, is what's worse, taking a bus from Los Angeles to New Jersey or flying through Newark?
Flying to Newark.
Okay,
whoa,
very good.
Whoa.
So E-W-R. There you go. Let's make sure.
Eisen with the hard questions.
Flying to Newark.
So they're going to be joining us top of hour number two. And then after they join us, guess who's going to join us? Bijan Robinson. And we'll just basically ask him, like, what's up with the Bijan to Bijan? It's kind of like trying to avoid a tackler in the hole. And he's terrific at that. And he's been juking us out with his name for about a year and a half. And,
right.
and I don't like it. But that said, the Atlanta Falcons are coming off of their bye week after an up and down first four games of the season where they look terrific or they lose at the end or they shut somebody out or they get blown out. They're kind of all over the map. And the next time we see them will be right here on another form of Disney Family of Networks, Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills are coming into their house, licking their wounds after losing their first game of the season. We'll talk to Bijan about all that. And our first guest joining us on this program shortly is going to be, by the way, guy in studio. Guess who's joining us in studio in hour number three? John Bon Jovi is going to be joining us in the studio. Kurt Warner's in his usual Wednesday spot, Hall of Famer, in 15 minutes' time. So
let's do it, man.
And one of the things we're going to be talking to Kurt about is there a plan in Cleveland, a quarterback? What's going on? I'll be straight up with you. And I understand the Eagles had a mini team meeting between their all-world quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, or they were just chit-chatting by a water cooler on Tuesday, and everybody's freaking out about it in Philadelphia because that's what they do. And we'll get to that later on. But this news broke right in the middle of yesterday's program, and it just made me wonder again after all the dust settled of sending Joe Flacco to Cincinnati for a swap of a fifth and sixth round pick in next year's draft, leading Joe Flacco to, if he does start for the Browns and then the Bengals later on this year, he'll be the first guy to ever start for the Browns, Bengals, and Ravens in the history of the world. And he joins Jeff Driskel as the only starting quarterbacks for the Bengals and the Browns. So this is a rare thing to see. And the Cincinnati kids running the old Twitter account sending out the nude Flacco jersey. Get them while they're still hot off the presses, everybody. How many of those kids, after they're done with their Grater's ice cream, are saying, "Mom, Dad, can I have that new Flacco jersey in Cincinnati to go with their Skyline chili?" All right, I'm done with all the Cincinnati food references. Grater's ice cream is outstanding, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, baby. Listen. So, just to get it all straight, they trade for Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
And then sign Joe Flacco. And then they draft Dylan Gabriel. And then draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking you from March to late April, early May. And the reason why they draft Shedeur in the fifth round, as they say, is because it's great value. And who helped create that value in the fifth round? Well, the Browns, by passing on him over and over and over again, including taking another rookie quarterback in Dylan Gabriel. And then all four of them enter camp. And then Pickett gets a tweak. He can't go. And they're not starting Flacco because he's 40 and he's a man. And he's 40 and he can 100%. Get this playbook down, because this is the playbook through which he became comeback player of the year, even though he was coming back from the couch and his career looking over. And so let's give Shedeur a start in the preseason, and he lights up Carolina. And that was an NFL Network game, and we were thrilled at NFL Network. Everyone's watching, and he's balling out, and he's looking great. And then he tweaks something, and it's now Dylan Gabriel getting a start. He doesn't look as great, but he's now above Shedeur in the depth chart going into a season that does not include Kenny Pickett, because they trade him to Vegas because Vegas loses Aiden O'Connell, and Pickett is now on the second string spot in Vegas and isn't starting there, despite Geno Smith leading the league in interceptions with 9, which is tops with Flacco right behind him. And because Flacco is, I guess, sputtering, they wind up benching him, starting Dylan Gabriel, 41st different starter for the Cleveland Browns since returning to existence. And then Dylan Gabriel throws 2 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions in his first career start. And the only other Cleveland Brown quarterback to do that in the last 20 seasons is named Brady Quinn, who also got a Week 5 start. Gabriel, 190 pass yards and a 94.3 passer rating as he gets his first career start in an international game. First such quarterback to do that with Flacco watching. Flacco flies all the way back across to Berea, Ohio, and finds out yesterday, guess where you're going? You're going to Cincinnati. They trade him for a fifth and sixth round swap. Bailey Zappe sitting on the practice squad. He hasn't been elevated yet. So guess who is, in fact, second string at present? That would be Shedeur Sanders. And interestingly enough, if you look on the ESPN page, you'll see Deshaun Watson is sitting there on their depth chart.
Yep.
This is an unofficial depth chart that the Browns sent out. So Shador is one blue tenting of Dylan Gabriel by, say, let me see here, TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward, just name it. The Steelers coming off their bye after having a 6-sack performance in their last game against Carson Wentz. Shador can get out there. And this is what happened. So you know that, you know that jersey that a fan has of all the different starting quarterbacks, and like they're running out of room.
8,000 quarterbacks.
You know, and maybe they could create a new ring like the Stanley Cup. When the Stanley Cup runs out of room, maybe they could just extend it.
Yep.
Can they rip out some of the lining and extend the jersey? You know how that jersey, so you could create your own shirt of acquire Pickett, sign Flacco, draft Gabriel, draft Shador to start Shador, start Gabriel, rest Flacco, start Flacco before starting Flacco, trade Pickett, start Flacco, bench Flacco, start Gabriel, trade Flacco. Elevate
Zappy.
Well, potentially, I'm just going to say elevate Shador.
Oh.
So sure enough, I saw some local media individual interview Shador. They caught Shador. He did actually speak this time. And he talked about, again, the stuff that he should be. He's going to miss Flacco's
leadership,
all that good stuff. The veteran quarterback whisperer, Flacco being Mr. Chips and all.
Did you call him Unk at all?
Unk. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that.
Flacco is an Unk, for sure.
And this is how crazy it is. It was brought up to Prime at his press conference in Colorado.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yes, the fact that Flacco's gone, Shador's now second string, and I guess somebody was trying to snake out of Prime him to start talking about how Shador deserves to start or is in fact as good as most other quarterbacks or some other quarterbacks that are starting right now, was right to be miming back at Rex Ryan, who never mimes. And this was the answer.
The Browns traded away Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I got that Cincinnati text during practice.
I was just wondering what your reaction
care.
Is.
I don't give a damn about the Browns at all. I care about the Colorado Buffaloes. I do love me some Shador Sanders, don't believe that. I care about him. The rest of that mess, I don't, okay? I'm a coach trying to win just like they're trying to win games, but I could care less of who they traded.
When he says mess, he's also using that as a phrase about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
He could actually be referring to it as a mess because, as I just mentioned, what's the plan? Are we just going to hope that Gabriel's the guy and then maybe kick the tires on Shador if not, and then wind up with as high a draft pick as you possibly can have for somebody next year who may or may not be as good as any of these kids that they currently have on their roster? Meanwhile, no Browns quarterback has ever had multiple passing touchdowns in each of their first two career starts. Only two Browns quarterbacks have won in either of their first two starts in the last 10 seasons. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the famed DTR, did it. By the way, against Pittsburgh in week 11, 2 years ago. And then a guy, is his name? I think he's on the tip of everybody's tongue in Cleveland, right? Oh, yeah, Baker Mayfield. They used to have drafting first overall. Well, he's balling out in MVP style right now. And if the one thing at least Cleveland should be thankful of, and let me make sure that I'm confirming it before I say these words, is they don't see Baker on their regular season schedule right now because the score would be 50 million to nothing. What's their plan? It's a great question to have. What is your plan? What has been your plan? You know, let's go into the season with Joe and two other rookies and then trade Joe 5 weeks in.
Bet they wish they still had Kenny Pickett right now.
And I'll say this, man. You know, Myles Garrett said he didn't want any part of this mess. And then they cut him a $40 million a year check that, by the way, has been surpassed that contract twice since, including most recently, topped out of all of them by somebody whose trade request was in fact granted. And he's 2-1-1 coming off his bye, Micah Parsons. And the other guy who surpassed the contract is someone he'll see on the field this week in TJ Watt. So I guess that's the old, we have that Mad Men drop now, DJ Mikey D.
Oh,
I mean, because I know he was genuinely concerned about the direction of the franchise.
Well, he told Andrew Siciliano that he was down with the plan. He was made aware of the plan and was okay with the plan.
Right. And guess what?
That's what the money is for.
It's to be okay with the plan. They're 1-4. Every Brown fan I know is wondering why Stefanski still has a gig, which is what I think Bruce Arians even told Pat, right, on his show?
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. So, and I love Stefanski. He's a 2-time coach of the year for a good reason.
It doesn't seem like he's making the decision.
I don't know. Yeah. Because there doesn't appear to be any plan other than the fact that they like Gabriel, and hopefully he's the guy. Because... you know, next up for him is a visit to Pittsburgh, as we all know. And then they got a home date with Miami. And interestingly enough, I think if Tua was a Russian nest doll, you could snap him open and fit Dylan Gabriel perfectly within him. Because that's his nickname, right? Is Tua Jr. or Mini Tua, left-hander.
That's right.
Who's got some ability to spin it and neck up ability and processing, which, by the way, Mike Tomlin said was Dylan Gabriel's superpower is his ability to process quickly. He better process quickly because they're at New England as well before there's a bye.
Big stretch coming up.
It is that for Cleveland at 1-4. Yeah. Start winning some games. Let's take some heat off and see what Dylan Gabriel can do. We were impressed with him and by him when he zoomed in with us prior to the draft.
Yeah, for sure.
And the guy, again, has... as many starts in his career as anybody else has ever had in college. And, you know, the other guys like Bo Nix and Brock Purdy, they came out of the box nicely in professional football. We'll see if Dylan Gabriel could do that.
And he held his own last week.
I think selfishly, back on August 29th, I wrote down that by October 12th, Shador would be starting. I was that close, Chris. I could be
so
a,
close.
I could be a week away.
Well,
from that happening
again, yeah. We shall see. And by the way, my best of Prime, who is back in the hospital, had a procedure because he said that he has more blood clots.
Yeah.
There he is. I love this man. I absolutely love this man, and wish him a speedy recovery. He says he's going to be on the sidelines this weekend against Iowa State. Don't put anything past him. But love you, Prime. Hopefully you get better soon.
You're here.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Kurt Warner, our Hall of Fame friend. He's going to be calling the Broncos and Jets with me on Sunday and then the Rams and the Jaguars with me the week after that. So he's about to hop a flight to London just like I am after today's show. Kurt Warner next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday in which my power rankings also lurk.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
I'm sitting here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. For those who just rejoined us there on our simulcast, that's the voice of Kurt Warner talking about Kevin Stefanski being asked if Shador is going to be his number two this weekend and being noncommittal and also being nuanced about how he just learned about the trade just yesterday. About Flacco, this hasn't really been in the hopper for long, and he's just reacting to things. But at least Dylan Gabriel didn't struggle mightily last week, right, Kurt? I mean, I don't know what you saw on film coming out of that London game in the stadium you and I are going to be calling a game from this week, Jets Broncos. But what did you see out of Dylan Gabriel, Kurt?
He definitely didn't look overwhelmed. I don't think it was a great performance, but it, made some throws down the field that
were NFL throws, made some good decisions, you know, gave him a chance to win, threw a couple touchdown passes. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a great performance, but I thought it was a solid performance and something that you can definitely build on. And let me even add to what I was saying, you know, with Shadur. I think we all know, you know, what a lightning rod, you know, Shadur has been and his story. And, you know, a lot of people fall on both sides of this thing. We love Shadur. He should get a shot. And other people like, well, okay, he hasn't shown enough. And why are we talking about him so much instead of talking about Dylan Gabriel? That there may be an element of that to it, whether it's fair or unfair. You know, I think we've seen these things before. You know, Tim Tebow was a lightning rod. And so there came a point, he had had some success in the league, but there came a point where nobody wanted to sign him as a backup. And you kind of shake your head like, well, he's had success. He's definitely a guy that can come in and galvanize your team. But I think a lot of teams said, we don't want to deal with that on a weekly basis as our backup quarterback. You know, we want the focus to be on our starter, and we don't want that pressure of people clamoring to get the backup in that type of situation. And so, you know, I wonder if that could be an element of it too. It's like, this is Dylan's job right now, and we want to focus on him, and we want him to be the central piece. And if he struggles, we don't need everybody yelling, let's go to the backup, go to the backup, go to the backup. And so there could be an element of that that plays into this as well, where it's like, let Dylan have the best opportunity to just have his chance to show us what he's capable of, to go through some struggles and us not have to worry about that next piece and that pressure, you know, from that side of it. So, you know, maybe just another element that has to go through Kevin Stefanski's, you know, mind when making these decisions.
The great Kirk Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. So many different ways I could go with you here. Let's go with the Trevor Lawrence throws at the end of the game against Kansas City, right? And I know you have been waiting to see some of this stuff from Trevor Lawrence, the good first overall stuff for him for a while. But those throws, right, to Brian Thomas, De'Ami Brown, and then running it in, that's it right there, right? That's what we're looking for from him.
Correct? I mean, that big-time throw to Thomas, I mean, that was huge, and especially when it happened, because, you know, we've talked a lot about it, and I haven't been ready to put Trevor in that upper echelon just yet. Now, he shows moments. He shows glimpses of everything you want in an elite big-time quarterback, and he shows them every week. But there's also, you know, 8 to 10 plays every week where I'm left shaking my head like, why did he make that decision? You know, why didn't he throw it there? Or how did he miss that throw after making that other? Like, how do these things happen? And you could take that last drive and you could put all that in there. Like, the first two plays of the drive, he rolls out to his right-hand side and there's nowhere to go. And we know time is an element. And instead of just running out of bounds, he turns up the field and gets tackled, you know, right where he's at. Okay, so now the clock's going. So then the next play, he rolls to his left-hand side. There's nothing there. Just throw the ball away and stop the clock. And he tries to run again, and he loses 3 yards on the play. And you're just kind of shaking your head like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing in this two-minute drill? Like, we got to save time. And then the next play is this dime that he drops to Brian Thomas for 40 yards down the sideline that's perfect. You know, and then you go the rest of the drive, and he makes a couple plays, and then the winning play, you know, and again, not his fault that, you know, he gets stepped on and falls down, but, you know, he's falling down and you're like, oh my gosh, you're in a moment to win this game against the defending AFC champs. And he falls down back there in a situation with no timeouts. Now what's going to happen? And then he gets up and he runs it in and makes a great play and wins the game. But it's kind of been the Trevor Lawrence experience, as people say, is that there's so much good. But then there's always these things that leave you scratching your head. And that's the next step for Trevor, is to eliminate those things that show up each week that, you know, can be game-changing plays, you know, negatively for your football team. And those didn't cost him in this game. But those first two plays, you're like, man, this is exactly the opposite of how we want to start a two-minute drive. But he came back and made a play. And so maybe he's breaking through and he's able to make more of those big time plays in the moment. Maybe this is one of those difference making games for him and the Jags. But those plays are still in there, and they were on Monday night. And that's the thing I think he's got to eliminate if this team is really going to be a contender at the end of the year.
Well, you know the Bill Parcells phrase, Kurt, right? So-and-so dropped his Huggies. That's the phrase when a young quarterback or player becomes a grown man in the NFL. Did Drake May drop his Huggies on Sunday Night Football against the Bills, Kurt?
Yeah, I still want to see more. I think Drake's playing some good football. And, you know, but right now, a little of it is, I think, more backyard football than it's just solid, consistent quarterback play. And, you know, and we saw that. I mean, there was one where he ends up rolling to his right and he drops a dime about 35 yards down the field, rolling to his right. Obviously, the play there at the end where some big fella's hanging on his left shoulder and he finds a way to shake him off and make that throw, that completion, instead of taking a sack in that situation. So we're seeing some big time plays and we're seeing some good quarterback play. But right now, you know, I've seen a little too much for me. You know, look at one guy and go create. Look at one guy and go create. And he's got the ability to do that. But you know how I feel about that. That's a tough world to live in. To be a great quarterback in this league, you've got to be able to consistently live in the pocket, you know, when the play and the situation dictates that, and then go and create and be that special playmaker beyond that. And there's just a little too much of that. I think they were fortunate that game that the Buffalo played as bad as they did. But he made some big-time throws, and he's played some good football this year. I'm just not ready to say he's taken that, you know, that step to where I think everybody wants him to be.
Excellent, nuanced answer, Kurt Warner, but unfortunately it's the wrong one. I'd like to introduce you to somebody who thinks the Patriots are now going to win 12 games and Drake May can finish the MVP finalist voting. That's Chris Brockman. Correct, Chris?
Hey, Kurt, great to see you. Yeah,
buddy.
Look at the Patriots schedule, Kurt. I don't see how it's any less.
Hold on. We're not talking about schedule. 12, we're talking actually. About Drake May.
Oh, sure. Oh, then how about this, Kurt? If you do a blind taste test of statistics, he has better stats than Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Oh, but it's cool when those guys look at one read and then start to create with their legs. It's cool when they do it, but when Drake May does it, you got to see more.
I've seen those other guys do more. So when they do that,
oh really? Like in the Super Bowl,
I could live in that world.
Oh, boy.
What's that?
Like in the Super Bowl, he says.
Well, I haven't seen Drake in the Super Bowl either. So what are we talking about here?
Not yet.
This is the year, Kurt.
No, but I've seen those guys win MVPs. I've seen those guys consistently do it for 17 games. But I'm with Brock. I am with you. There are times that I say the same thing. I thought on Sunday night that Josh did that way too much.
Yeah.
Drop back, look at one guy or see a hole in the offensive line and take off instead of letting the play work for him. So I fully agree with you that there's times that those guys do that also, and they do it too much for my liking. But I've also seen them play high-level quarterback where – again, I want to see more of Drake. He's played well this year. I just want to see it more consistently before I'm ready to, you know,
I totally get that. The frustrating part is, and he's a second-year player, is that he does all these amazing things. He drops that, you know, the insane throw on the final drive, the one to Stephon Diggs on the sideline, and then he does the absolutely dumbest play you've ever seen, like the fumble and pick against the Steelers, and you're just like, dude, come on, man. It's right there.
That's because he's a kid. He's going to have to get used to this whole thing. And go back to
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You know, like Josh Allen, didn't we say that about him in his second year?
Totally.
Like, Josh, quit making that play. Right. You know, like, you can't do that. So, I fully believe that he will work his way in that direction. I just don't think he's there yet.
Okay. Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. This isn't a quarterback thing, but it's something that's happening right there in your area. In Arizona, was Demarcado flipping the ball too soon before crossing the goal line. After we saw A.D. Mitchell do it, it absolutely turned the game for Arizona. Everything that happened after it isn't Demarcado's fault, but it was the beginning of it. Coach Jonathan Gannon went up to him and aired him out. I don't know what he said to him, but it was an airing out that Gannon apologized for. And then the team fined Gannon six figures for it. What's your take on all this, Kurt? Because there's back and forth about hey, a coach isn't allowed to air out a player for a bonehead move. And he apologized. Yeah. I don't know if he said something that he shouldn't have, but I give the floor to you on this, Kurt.
Yeah, I think it was the physical part of the interaction right. where the fine and the apology came from. Was I don't think it was about, you know, getting on him and yelling and screaming at him, but, you know, there was, you know, a lot of people said he hit him, he punched, like, I don't know. I mean, they have lots of coaches, you know, I would say physical, that, you know, I mean, just push you, whatever. I mean, I've had that happen a lot in this sport. And so I didn't really make as much of that as a lot of people did. I know in this day and age, it can be a bigger issue than, you know, maybe it was a decade ago. You know, but I believe that's what the apology was for, was, you know, the physical nature of it, shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. I have absolutely no problem with any of it. Now, I know the young man feels as bad as anybody. Like, you know, he knows he made a mistake. You know, he knows it was a bonehead move, especially after what happened the week before. You know, just like the week before, neither one of these guys thought they did it, right? They thought they crossed the goal line before they did. Like, so those things happen. And I know we say they can't happen. They shouldn't happen. Why do they happen? And I fully understand why Coach Gannon was irate. You know, like guys, we're pros. You can't do that stuff. You know, we just saw it. I don't know if they talked about it too. Like, we just talked about it after last. You can't do it. So getting angry, I have no problem with that part of it either. Getting in his face. And I wouldn't think the player would either. I think if that happened to me and a coach came and yelled at me, I would be like, I deserve that. I mean, I know, and I feel awful. You don't have to yell at me because I'm a grown man and won't make the mistake again and will learn from it. But I understand why you're yelling at me, and I have no problem with that. And I'm moving forward. And the young man took, you know, full ownership of it as well. And so the fine, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, just because I think that's part of football. And, you know, sometimes we all go over the line yelling and screaming or pushing a teammate or, you know, physical part of it. I just think that's part of the game. And I don't think there was, you know, any ill intent there, you know, by coach to, you know, hurt the player. It was just one of those moments.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show every single Wednesday. Every single Wednesday I ask you this: which quarterback had the best day on film that you've seen since that day? And I'm wondering if it comes from Seattle, if it comes from that Baker Mayfield, yeah, Sam Darnold classic, right, in those classic uniforms, Kurt. I'm wondering.
You could put both of them, okay, right up there. I mean, I'm obviously leaning towards Baker. They got the win. I mean, he had 4 incompletions on the day, threw for 375 yards, you know, something that I know hasn't been done very often. Sam Darnold was great with 4 touchdowns, did have the one blemish at the end with the interception. And then, you know, I'll throw out another name in Dak Prescott, who's playing really good football. You know, I know with the Jets and they're reeling, you know, it's going to be an interesting weekend for us, you know, with the Jets in London. But another 4 touchdown performance, is in full command. Has this team playing better than I think anybody expected. And even with all the issues that they had, no CD Lamb and the issues up front, he just continues to play really, really good football. And so probably not getting it talked about as much as some other guys because their team isn't good. But I think he would fully be in that MVP conversation, if you really step back and looked at who's playing, you know, how early in the season. He's one of, you know, playing one of the best quarterback positions of anybody that's out there.
Yeah, Baker, 29 for 33, 379 pass yards.
Come on.
You said it doesn't happen too often. Did you know the statistic associated with it? And that's just you being, you know, humble?
I don't know.
Okay.
What are you talking about? I mean, I know that I did that.
Baker's before. Only the third player in, yeah, NFL history with 375 or more passing yards in a game and fewer than 5 completions in that game, including the playoffs. The other two are named Peyton Manning and you.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's a rare feat to have,
right,
you know, that little, you know, incompletions. I mean, just 4 incompletions is incredible. And then the thing that I love about Baker, and I actually just did a breakdown, it'll be on QB Confidential, you know, a little bit later, but I always think that the best quarterbacks in the league are the guys that excel consistently at what I call chunk throws. the 15 to 35 yard throws that you make in a game. Like, every quarterback in the NFL should make the short throws, and everyone should be able to make, you know, the long throw here and there, you know, when you throw it in a game. But the guys that are so good at those chunk throws are the ones that become the great quarterbacks in the National Football League. And two of the guys I just mentioned, Dak Prescott and Baker Mayfield, have been two of the best this year in making those chunk throws consistently over and over again. And in that game against Seattle, he made some incredible chunk throws, but he's been doing that consistently. And that to me is what's taken him, you know, to that next level, is consistency in the other areas, but his chunk level, you know, chunk throws are, you know, second to none right now.
Does Ibuka look like the offensive rookie of the year on tape too, on film, just seeing the way that he runs his routes for Baker?
He could be the offensive player of the year. I mean, not just rookie of the year, but yeah, I mean, he looked like a seasoned vet, and little nuances that he has, the feel for the game. You know, there was a couple plays where, you know, just him settling in a zone so Baker can make him available. The long touchdown, post touchdown that he ran right at the top of his route. He gives a little lean to the outside. He's in tight coverage, gives a little lean to the outside to create just enough separation from the corner so Baker can put it in there, and that corner's not in a position to knock it away. And so things like that from a rookie are really, really impressive. And so, yeah, we could definitely say rookie of the year. But I think he's in the running for things like offensive player of the year right now with the way that he's playing.
If I'm not mistaken, Kurt, wait for it. I'm not a tape head like you, but that route that you're referring to in Seattle, was that the route that they beat the Falcons on too? Is that the same
thing? It is the exact same route. You're right.
Look at me. I see you. Look at me, Kurt. It looked just like the one that beat the Falcons.
You are on the money.
It's called RE Confidential. That's what it's called. That's I'm coming for you.
Start your own. You already got your own YouTube channel, man. You can start breaking down.
Come on now. And because I can't
don't steal my job.
I won't do that. No, you're great at what you do. And because, again, I can't resist, even though, you know, I should. Your name also came up in a stat from this weekend as well. Not just Yeah,
I mean, not like a Monday night game.
No. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, were you calling that for Westwood One?
I was calling it.
And so when Devin Lloyd does what he does, I mean, what are you thinking in the booth when you're watching this happen, Kurt?
Literally, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I've been there. I've seen this before.
Yes.
In
Florida, in the state of Florida as well.
I actually did think about that too. I'm like, well, it wasn't this stadium, but it was right down the road. All of that stuff came screaming back into my mind. And then, you know, at the end, like, Devin was starting to run out of gas, you know, and I saw, I don't remember who it was, maybe Thornton. Yeah. He's running down the white, the sideline.
Just like Larry.
Which is what Larry was doing. I'm like, he's going to catch him. He's going to knock the ball out at the last second. And, of course, he didn't either. And so, yes, there was a lot of thoughts came back on that one.
So can confirm you were thinking about it, is what you're saying.
I talked about it on the air. So,
fantastic.
If you listened, everybody knew I was thinking about
it. Very good. But Kevin Harlan was probably nicer about it than I'm being right now, Kirk.
Very much.
Okay,
very much. He didn't bring it up. He left it fully
bring
to
it
me.
Up?
He didn't.
It's a stat. It's a stat. I mean, it's the longest one ever other than, you know, yours.
I know. Okay. I brought it up so he didn't have to, but he did not. He did not stay on it. And,
you know, like what I'm doing right now is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. He just moved on quickly. Like, hey, Kurt, you do that if you want to. Otherwise, I'm just going to go to that great play.
All right. We're finally out of time now. I'll see you in London. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
I'll see you tomorrow. Soon. I'll see you across the pond. There you go. That's Kurt Warner, everybody, in his usual Wednesday spot right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, he's already hung up. He doesn't want to hear what we have to say. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, supporting you every step of the way. Progressive.com. Every step of the way, like, say, Devin Lloyd or James Harrison. Just throwing
two random names out of the
air that is thin. We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more Fitz and Wit and Bijan Robinson. Still to come.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Huh. Hyundai Hope on Wheels. I'm proud to talk about it. What an incredible campaign. And it's been over 27 years and still running. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Many of you may not know that, but that's why I'm happy to tell you about how Hyundai Hope on Wheels, together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, Hope is not optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Dan Campbell is speaking, and he, as we know, 4-1 Lions.
They look good.
Next up in Arrowhead. Oof. And the Chiefs just minted a new 4-1 team in the NFL in the Jacksonville Jaguars. My power rankings later on.
Yeah.
See how high up the Lions have gone, or if the Jaguars are on it. I'm now teasing a segment I never really wanted to do.
We love it, Rich.
It happens.
Does happen.
We love it, Rich. You know?
So Dan Campbell, last time they visited Arrowhead, they spoiled a party. Remember that one?
Yep.
Where the Lions went into Arrowhead in a season opener assignment. Right. Everyone's like,
that's right.
Why would the league put the Lions in there?
Right.
The Lions are just going to be, the Washington Generals here to the Globetrotters. And yada, 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 didn't happen.
Yeah. Axel Foley.
Here we go.
Detroit-esque.
look at you, Mike.
I don't understand it.
He wrecked the buffet.
Thank you, sir.
Ah.
Let's hear from Dan Campbell. Would you mind actually working the fader so we can hear the sound? Oh, very good. Roll it.
Look, you got to do a number of things with him. You know, this first of all, he can smell a rat from a mile away. So if you're going to disguise, boy, it better be, you know, worthy of a Grammy. Because, you know, this guy sees it all and he smells immediately. He can alter protections. He can get to different things in the pass game. I think you got to do a number of different things. But you got to be careful that you don't want to become something you're not either. You know, you got to still hang your hat on what you do well.
If there's anybody out there that's going to be able to sell authenticity, one would think it's Dan Campbell, right? Can't disguise who you are. You might disguise a coverage, and if you do, if I may, it wouldn't be worth a Grammy. The Grammy, as we know, is for music. It would have to be an Oscar or an Emmy or even a Tony. I mean, I don't know how many times he's been to Broadway. Far be it for me to, you know, correct a guy who I think is in line for Coach of the Year, which, by the way, he would be if the Lions repeat what they did last year with two new coordinators. Everybody.
He's got the fifth best odds.
I don't understand it. What? Because you got what? Let me guess the other one. Steichen?
Sure. Steichen, one.
Kyle Shanahan?
Three.
I will go with Liam Cohen.
Two.
Oh, Rich.
And who's the fourth? Is it Vrabel?
Vrabes.
Okay. You're always going to go with the surprise team with a new-ish coach.
Yeah.
Well, what about a guy? I'm glad to see Kyle Shanahan in that mix.
Well, they're half their team.
What about a guy who starts 0-1 and then wins 4 in a row and then goes, who knows, if they win 15 games again with two new coordinators?
Seems like you're interested in 11-1.
I'm not interested, other than being right. As you know, I don't know what you mean. Does that mean there's 11 other people who feel differently because I'm the one who says it? Is that what you mean by 11-1? Because other than that, I'm confused as an NFL employee. I don't know what you mean.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.